We continue this morning our studies looking at the life of Joseph. You know, the issue of suffering is one that isn't far from all of any of us, and it's one that we would all struggle with in some way, shape, or form in our lifetimes. You know, we may experience it personally, with redundancy or with illness. Certainly, we're going to experience at some point our families with the loss of loved ones. It would always be there for us, and we will always struggle with these issues because we live in a world which is broken. And this side of heaven is going to be a topic which is never going to be far from our hearts and our minds. And responding to that challenge and responding to that issue brings a variety of responses. There are some who, when they experience the tough times and they experience the pain and the suffering that they go through in life, they run towards God. They find in God a comforter. They find in God the one who has arms to hold them, the everlasting arms that run underneath them. There are others that turn and blame God for their pain. And they turn on God and they point the finger at him and they run from him because they see him as the cause of their pain. And there are others who just put it down to that's life and ignore God completely. Over the years, I've done a number of lessons in secondary schools particularly. And whenever I used to do that, I always used to allow time at the end of those lessons for a Q&A and the pupils to ask questions. And they were able to ask whatever they wanted. Invariably, every lesson, there would be questions around suffering. Packaged and captured in different ways, in different phrasings, but always at the heart of it was this question of why. Why do we live in a world where there is pain? Why does God allow suffering? Whenever we do the Alpha Course, again, we allow people to ask questions, and invariably, again, topics that come up. We've done community graffiti boards at events we've done recently locally and allow people to ask those questions, and again, there is always a question around suffering. Always a question around pain and loss. But in the story of Joseph that we're going to look at this morning, we find a particular kind of suffering. It's a particular kind of trial and difficulty and a source of pain. And it's one that we come across not once, not twice, but three times. Sadly, there are Bible teachers out there who teach the Bible, but they teach a particular brand and a particular dynamic of that. And they particularly teach a form of spirituality and theology that argues and would say that if you follow God and if you honour God and if you trust God and have enough faith in God, then everything will be fine and everything will work out well for you. You'll experience the physical blessings of this earth. You'll experience health and wealth and the good things of life. But that simply doesn't deal with the issues that we're going to find in Joseph's story today. And for many of us, with our experiences of life too. So let's read the account of Joseph. We're going to pick the story up in Genesis chapter 39, starting at verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. This is Potiphar, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had a dream," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them and out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Last week, Catherine left us with Joseph languishing in prison, having been falsely accused of sexual harassment and attempted rape. That was the 2nd of the 3 occasions when he experienced the kind of suffering that we're going to be looking at today. So let's look at those 3 occasions. What were they? The first is this, was when he was sold by his brothers. We saw it a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, when we looked at this particular passage. Joseph had been given a couple of dreams by God. And in his attempt to try and make sense of them, he shared them with his family. As we've already seen in today's reading, Joseph believed that the interpretations of those dreams belonged to God. He believed the dreams were from God, and the interpretations belonged to God. And so he was asking his family to help him to hear from God, to understand what those dreams meant. But because of how Jacob, his father, had been with him and had treated him with favoritism, Joseph had become unpopular in the family, and there was jealousy and there was anger that was festering away. And so his brothers plotted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him. And it was only by the intervention of Reuben, the eldest, that he was spared. But what had he done wrong? What had Joseph done that was so bad? Hadn't he sought to honour God? Hadn't he sought to do the right thing? He hadn't acted out of turn in any way. He'd had this interpretation, these dreams given to him by God, and he'd wanted to understand what they meant. And so he asked the questions. So why had it ended like this? Why was he, first of all, put in a hole in the ground before then being sold into slavery? Where was God? As I said, this is the second, today's reading is the 2nd of these occasions where he is imprisoned on false charges, made up by Potiphar's wife, and ended up with Potiphar throwing Joseph into prison. As a prisoner, accused of these kinds of crimes by a top official in Egypt, you know, this would not have been a walk in the park. It would have been tough in prison. Prisons weren't meant to be nice, warm places. They weren't well sanitized. This is a pretty grim experience. A dungeon is what Joseph described it to the chief cupbearer as. And he would have had physical abuse probably. He would have probably been beaten and been in stocks. He'd have been roughed up. He was, after all, a prisoner accused of rape. Raping, potentially attempting to rape one of the chiefs in Egypt, one of his wife. And so he would have had no mercy from the other prisoners around. He would have been shown a pretty hard time. And so as he sat there in the squalor, in the filth, with heat and flies and the stench around him, with wounds and sores from where he'd been beaten and abused, where was God? Why had God left him into this place? What had he done so wrong? The third occasion comes within the story too. You see, God seems to work his purpose out, and Joseph sees potentially his way out, his exit from prison. He believes interpretations of dreams are from God. And so he sees this opportunity when the dreams are coming. He understands that this could be from God. He recognizes that is a God-given moment. And as he interprets these dreams, and as he tells the cupbearer that he's going to be released, he asks him to remember him to Pharaoh, to talk to Pharaoh on his behalf, to remember how Joseph has been caring for these two guys and looking after them and meeting their needs, supporting them in perhaps the turmoil that they were going through of being locked up, of the fall of grace from being part of the king of Egypt's courtyard, and now languishing in prison alongside Joseph. And so he says to the cupbearer, just remember me, talk to Pharaoh about me. But having been released after 3 days, the cupbearer, perhaps so grateful to be out and scared stiff about suffering the same fate again, starts to think about protecting himself, throws himself into looking after Pharaoh, doing everything right by Pharaoh, making sure that he goes above and beyond with Pharaoh. So preoccupied with saving his own skin that he completely forgot about Joseph. And Joseph sitting there day after day, wondering if this is going to be the day when finally he's going to be released, when this is the day when finally the conversations happened in the palace and the cupbearers talked to Pharaoh on his behalf. And today is the day when he's going to be released. Every day that moment of, is this the day? Is this the day? And yet nothing. In chapter 41 and verse 1, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. For 2 years, Joseph endured that turmoil, left wondering whether this was the day. Again, why did God give him the interpretations? Why did God seemingly dangle the carrot in front of him, only to snatch it away and leave him languishing there for another couple of years? Stuck in that stinking, foul prison, what had he done so wrong? Hadn't he been faithful to God in what he had done? Hadn't he done everything that was asked of him? Hadn't he given the interpretations exactly as God had asked him to do, which had come true? Why? Why had he been forgotten? What about us? You know, the reality is, this isn't just about Joseph, is it? You know, those of us who are Christians who have chosen to follow Jesus, we're not immune to these things either. We don't need to look around the world at our brothers and sisters who this very day as we are enjoying being able to watch this service online, perhaps frustrated that we can't be in person, for sure, but we're able to watch and engage with material that has been provided for us. Our brothers and sisters languishing in prison for no other reason than they have willingly stated that they follow Jesus. Some living with the reality that one day their life on this earth is going to be cut short, and perhaps very soon, because they follow Jesus. Others of our brothers and sisters have been ostracized by their families, excluded, excommunicated, thrown out, or worse, abused and beaten, and even facing, again, being killed by their own family, because they dared to declare that Jesus is Lord when their families proclaimed a different Lord. You know, the reality is that for us, that's not going to be our experience, probably. Our circumstances are somewhat different to that, and perhaps in one sense we could argue they're far less significant, dramatic than that. But they're nonetheless painful, are they? Surely if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm honouring God, if I'm following God, if I'm putting God first, then everything at home is going to be great, isn't it? I won't have to suffer in any way. I won't have to be misunderstood. I won't have to experience being mistreated by my family because I'm a Christian. Because if I put God first, God will take care of all that, won't he? Surely if I honour God, I will enjoy the favour of all people, won't I? Surely if I put God first, no one's going to make false statements about me. No one's going to accuse me of anything. No one's going to drag my name through the mud and slag me off and put me down, bully me or make untrue comments about me, whether that's in person or on social media. That's not going to happen, is it? Because if I put God first, God's going to look after me, isn't he? Surely if I honour God, he won't forget me. I won't get overlooked for that promotion or that pay rise. Because if I honour him, then he will honour me. I won't be lonely or miss friends or wonder why I haven't got friends. I won't struggle with not being included and being ignored. I won't struggle with feeling my gifts don't matter and I've got nothing to contribute. Because if I honour God, then all this stuff will get sorted, won't it? Because he'll look after me. Why am I still single? Why can't we have children? Why have I got cancer? Why are we struggling financially and we don't seem to be able to make ends meet? Questions that I've heard Christians ask. And I could go on. Because these are our experiences. These are our stories. These are our circumstances. And when you listen to the Bible teaching that says, well, if you honour God first and you have enough faith in God, then everything will be nice and rosy and you'll be fine. And you'll enjoy health and wealth and prosperity. You'll enjoy all the favour of God and the blessings of God. There's just a disconnect between that teaching and our experiences and our circumstances. And we're left with feeling guilty because it must be because we haven't got enough faith. But is that Joseph's story? Did Joseph simply not have enough faith? See, I would argue that Joseph was faithful above and beyond. You see, Joseph remained true to his God. He remained committed to doing the right thing, saying the right thing, behaving the right way. You know, I find it challenging that when he was in Potiphar's house, the writer describes Joseph's position in chapter 39, verses 2 to 5, as experiencing the blessing and the favour of Potiphar. The Potiphar left everything to Joseph. He trusted Joseph with everything. Did that happen just because God was showing him favour and it was because of God's blessing upon Joseph? I don't think so. See, I think there's something about how Joseph behaved in Potiphar's house that God then blessed. Joseph had a good attitude. Joseph was trustworthy. Joseph had integrity about himself. Joseph had committed himself to honour God, to be obedient to God. And God blessed him, and God enabled that to be recognised by Potiphar. And God added blessing to that work. And then if you go to the end of chapter 39, and you find in verses 21 to 23 that the same happens in prison. Joseph again has integrity and a godly character. He is hardworking and trustworthy. Not just when he was in the luxurious surroundings of Potiphar's palace, but when he was in prison. Joseph was the same when he was serving in the palace as when he was serving in prison. Joseph wasn't just faithful when things were seemingly going well, even though he was a slave, but a slave in a palace. His character and attitude was not just simply influenced by his circumstances and by his surroundings. You know, Joseph showed faithfulness to God in the good and in the bad, in the environment of success and opulence, and in prison, when it seemed God was blessing him and when it seemed God had forgotten him. Joseph was the same. Joseph served the same way. Joseph had a character and an attitude which continued to serve and put God first. Now, I'm sure Joseph had his moments, had his doubts, had his concerns, had his fears, had his dark days, had his days when he wondered where God was. But through it all, he continued to be faithful in his service and obedience to God. And God remained sovereign. God honoured Joseph and he never forgot him. One of the things we see time and time again in the men and women of faith in the Bible and in the Old Testament in particular is the period of waiting that is required of them. We see the story of Abraham and Sarah, promised a descendant, promised offspring, and they're called to wait and wait and wait. And they wonder when God is going to answer their prayers, when God is going to fulfill his promise to them, and they have to wait. We see it in Moses, who ends up spending 40 years in the desert, having run away from Egypt. He spends 40 years in the wilderness, tending his father-in-law's sheep, God preparing him for what is about to come. Period of leadership formation. That's something we don't find in our Bible colleges today, is it? To go and spend 40 years in the desert with your father-in-law's sheep as a way to form leadership. But that was Moses' experience. That's when Moses had his years of formation. The story of David, where David is promised and spoken about as the future king. And yet he spent years serving under King Saul, but also having to run away from King Saul, fearing for his life because King Saul was so jealous of him. These periods of time that these great men had and women had to endure were never wasted time, never wasted years. God never wastes time. He never wastes circumstances. He never wastes experience that we go through. What we know is that God will use our circumstances and God will use our experiences for our good and for our benefit. James chapter 1 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So if you want to be mature and complete in your faith, not lacking anything, the route to get to that place, folks, is through trials. Through this period of suffering and pain, through these moments where it feels like God is leaving you and abandoning you. It's moments where we question where he is. And we seem to be suffering for nothing other than the fact that we own the name of Jesus. And yet it's God's way of preparing us and completing us and maturing us in our faith. We can't bypass the pain to get to the end result. We need to allow the experience of our suffering and the trials that we go through to grow that perseverance in us, which will finish its course and complete us and mature us. And Paul puts it this way, well-known words, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God doesn't make everything good, but God works in everything for our good. That includes the tough times, the challenging times, the times when we're struggling, the times even perhaps when we feel abandoned by God. So will we experience tough times in our faith? Absolutely. No doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you own the name of Jesus, if you follow Jesus, there will be times where it will be tough. For no other reason than you follow Jesus. It might not be in our country, in our place, in this community, that we potentially could lose our lives or our livelihoods, although who knows in years to come whether that may be the case. But certainly there will be times where we struggle. Is it because we lack faith? Is it because we are not being obedient? Is it because in some way we are not honouring God? Not necessarily, although it's always good to ask God to show us if it is because of our own sin, or because of our own blind spots, or because of something we have done or not done. It's always good to ask that question, but it's not necessarily as a direct result because of that stuff. So where is God in those moments? Where is God in those moments when we're suffering and finding it tough? Let me tell you, he's right there in that moment with you. He is right in the middle of those circumstances with you. He is at work for your good, shaping you, building you, completing you, growing in you that character that is faithful and that will continue no matter what. The one thing that I can assure you 100% is that God will never abandon you. He will never forget you. He will never let you down and never fail you. I promise you that. And I can say that because the Bible promises that, and God has never broken a promise in the thousands of years since he wrote them, or the Bible was written down. He will not fail you, and he will not break those promises. So despite how it feels, despite what others may say to you, hang on in there, because God is faithful and God is sovereign and God will work his purposes out for you. But one last thing. If we're going to learn from the story of Joseph, if we can take anything away from today, my hope and my prayer for you is that we won't just recognize that God is sovereign. We won't just hang on in there. We will make a choice, as Joseph made a choice, to be faithful, to be committed, to work with integrity, to serve faithfully. Not to give in, not to roll over and let it all pass us by, but in the struggles, in the difficulties, to continue to do what God asks us to do. To continue to allow God to shape us and to bless us, and through us to be a blessing to others. Joseph made that choice. What happened to Joseph wasn't because of a lack of faith on his part, because he was faithful in everything, whether in prison or in the palace. God allowed those times to shape him and to mature him and to complete him, to prepare him for what was to come, to grow in him an empathy that only those experiences would give him. God never wastes our experiences, never wastes a moment. We just need to allow God to take us as we are and to shape us for his glory. Yes, it will be tough, but he has never failed us, and he never will.